sorted out on the phone side. We're going to bring in Ashley Dobrzynski. I got to ask her because she was the big baker today that brought in a $700 donation for her cake. She's over here celebrating it right now. Ashley, are we good to go at this point on your end?
No. Unless Jason Wilde can hear us now and he talks through the radio. Nope. So we do not. I'm going to talk to Jason real quick. Jeff Hall is also working on this. I don't think the phone connect is, I don't know.
That's quite all right.
All right, one sec.
This is good. You get filibuster Wally for you here on a Wednesday afternoon as we try to get Jason back on the horn here. But we're about to be talking with him a little bit about that draft class that just happened this last week. Some interesting things that came out of it. An offensive lineman not taken until the fifth round. What that says about the confidence the Green Bay Packers have in their offensive line, while at the same time looking over at the defensive line that we saw a heavy emphasis put on by Goody and the Packers trying to get that Robin to Micah Parsons' Batman. And at this point, I'm curious, you heard us argue yesterday on the damn sports show, Ashley's not the LVN defender. She doesn't think that there's going to be 10 sacks out of him. She's giving me the thumbs up right now on Daily Dodge TV. I've got the faith that you're going to see a jump, especially this year with Rashawn Gary out of the building. You're going to have an LVN that is going to get more snaps. You would imagine, that's one of the things we want to ask Jason as well, about what this is going to mean for his workload when you have a defensive tackle and another end coming into the door and into the Packers facility right now. Then we're going to shift into the second block, talk a little bit more about Packers, respond a little bit about what Jason Wilde is saying. What are the things that he wrote about this week on channel3000.com is Trey Smack and what it means that this Packers team has once again invested in a kicker in this draft. What that means for Brandon McManus, a veteran journeyman kicker who has been on this team for quite a while now. Ashley, I see you with the headphones.
We have him, I think.
We're back. We're so back. Filibuster Wally only got the last 4 minutes. I think that's sad to say anything, but that's fine. But real quick, you know what? I'll ask you in a second block. I got to get an update on your $700 cake that raised money for the the Good Karma Brands John Moser Children's Radiothon this morning. But first, we want to welcome in the great Jason Wilde to the show. At long last, you can hear him on Wilde and Tausch weekdays from 9 a.m. until noon across ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app. And you can read all of his written work under the Packers tab on channel3000.com. Jason, I'm crossing my fingers that we have you now. If you are there, how are you? It's good to be talking with you.
Cool.
No, I'm here.
Oh, my God.
I'm here. I'm here. Yes. I'm here.
Jason, how are you?
Oh, my gosh.
So during COVID, we had technical problems during a Zoom call with Davante Adams. And so there were like three people in a row that Davante couldn't hear. And then they got to me, and I was like, Davante, can you hear me? Can you hear me? And he did what I just did to you. And then as they were about to move on from me, he's like, no, I can hear Wilde. I can hear Wilde. So I finally, almost 6 years later, I finally got to pay it forward from Davante to you guys, which brings me I am smiling from ear to ear right now just because somebody else got.
You had me panic, also, Jason, because, had filibuster Wally. For 4 minutes.
The whole idea is to get you to panic. And secondly, I am such a jerk because I have been there where you are filibustering and you're trying not to sound like a complete moron while you had something planned. Okay, here's where I talk to Wilde, blah, blah, blah. And then suddenly he's not available or you're having technical issues. And then you're trying to like, oh, my God, how am I going to fill this time? We can't just have dead air. We can't play music. What are we going to do? And I know your pain. So that makes me even a bigger jerk than Kay was to me because you also were dealing with that stress. So I guess I owe you an apology.
No, not at all.
I gotta tell you, I'm not really that sorry. Sorry, not sorry.
That's okay not to be sorry. You know what's funny? Because I remember growing up and driving around with my dad when he would drive me to school, and I was a young whippersnapper, as you would like to say. And I remember listening to the radio at points, and you're sitting there like, what are they doing? This is so easy. I can go out there and do it. As soon as now, like, Jason, if you're out of here with, like, 2 minutes or, like, your phone cuts off, my brain goes short circuit mode. I can see the panic now in my own eyes looking at the damn screen. So I'm happy that we have you. If anything, it made the joke even better now that I get to take a deep breath.
Well, then you're welcome.
Good. Thank you, Jason. And Jason, we're coming off of one of the bigger spectacles in all of sports, and that is the NFL draft and what it has become at this point. And I love this week on channel3000.com, you referenced what I know you think is the best sports show ever. I love Ted Lasso, too. I love the positivity, the messaging, the everything about it. You leave that show, and you have more hope in the world. And I love that you got to tie this in to a question about a seventh-round pick, or at least a late sixth-round pick, in Trey Smack. Can you tell us a little bit about what you wanted to ask him about with Trey Smack and how you brought Ted Lasso into it?
Yeah, so Ted Lasso is my favorite show. It's kind of like I feel about Ted Lasso the way Dobbs feels about Taylor Swift.
Real.
And so, yeah, for sure. And like another one of my favorite shows is Will Trent, but it's not as obviously upbeat and positive. I like to think of myself as striving to be Ted Lasso like. I know he's a fictional character, but like that's how I try to be. And so I was hoping I could get the full scene because it's actually a quote that Coach Beard reminds Ted he once told him. Apparently, when he was dating a dancer from a cruise ship. All people are different people. And I think it's a really good thing for us to remember, right? Like, just because we have a certain experience with a certain person doesn't mean that another person who's similar to them is going to treat us the same way or we're going to have the same issues. And so in the case of Trey Smack, he's going to be a rookie kicker. And look, let's be honest, unless Brandon McManus has the training camp of his life, Trey Smack's going to be their kicker. Like, you don't draft a guy in the sixth round. You don't trade up to take a guy in the sixth round if it's not your intention for him to be the guy. And so my point was, and I had asked Goody a couple questions about this, but the reason I use that line is because it's not Trey Smack is not Anders Carlson. He's not Braden Narveson. And those are two guys who were rookie kickers that were unreliable. And frankly, the reason Goody went out and signed Brandon McManus was because he wanted to get off the rookie kicker roller coaster, right? I mean, he had been frustrated with their inconsistency. And now here we go again, right? And so, you know, that was what I was asking Goody about was, you know, what about Trey Smack makes this worth getting back on the carousel? And, you know, I thought he had a good answer. He said, you know, you got to keep trying. And that's true, but I can guarantee you not only is Trey Smack going to have growing pains, but every one of these rookies that they drafted and the undrafted free agents they signed are going to have struggles too. I mean, that's just part, you know, whether you're new at being on the radio or new at a different job or new at playing in the NFL, it's going to be an issue for you because you don't know what you don't know yet and you got to learn. And so, you know, I just wanted to kind of use that as a tool to kind of not remind everybody, but really remind myself that just because Trey Smack's a rookie doesn't mean that the results are going to be similar to what those guys experienced and drove Goody up the wall with.
Well, more on the, like, draft. The Packers did not draft a quarterback, but they signed, is it Kyron? Did I say that right?
Kyron, yeah.
Kyron Drones. Do you think that
I was hoping his last name was Dobbs,
right?
Instead of Drones, but it was close.
Only awesome people with that last name. what do you think that says about their confidence in Desmond Ridder?
Yeah, it's a great question, and it was awfully nice of you to read or at least watch my little TV hit from last night's 10 o'clock news, because that is what I wrote about. And I'm, look, I don't know if Desmond Ritter's any good or not, right? I mean, he was drafted 12 picks ahead of Malik Willis in 2022 in the third round. He started 17 games for the Atlanta Falcons a couple of years ago over the span of two seasons. But, you know, he was inconsistent there. That's why he's been with five teams since then. And so, you know, the idea that, oh, they're going to, as I phrased it when I asked Goody, catch lightning in a bottle a second time, the odds are probably against that. And, you know, we just got done saying all people are different people. Well, let's be honest. Just because Malik Willis was able to resurrect his career doesn't mean Desmond Ritter is going to do the same thing just because they're both going to be potentially backup quarterbacks in Green Bay behind Jordan Love. So, you know, I'm eager to see what he can do. But to your point of your question, you know, if they weren't thinking that way, then I would think that they would have tried to draft a quarterback. And maybe they would have saved one of the picks that they traded to move around so they could draft one. Maybe they were, you know, trying to, and the guy came off the board right before they would have picked the guy that they liked. There's lots of, you know, kind of factors that come into that. But the bottom line is this is what has made sense from the beginning. They brought in Ritter at the end of last season. If you remember, they put him on the practice squad on New Year's Eve. They added him to the active roster for the playoff game. And, you know, it was pretty clear that they were trying to lay the groundwork for him to be the next Malik Willis. And now it's up to them and up to him to be able to actually replicate what Malik did.
Jason, I got into a little bit of a tiff with my new co-host, Ashley Dobrzynski, yesterday, because I have a little bit more faith in LVN going into year four, even though he has 8.5 career sacks to this point. But we saw Goody get a little aggressive in the third and fourth round, drafting what I imagine is intended to be help for Micah Parsons, to take a little of the pressure off him on his edge. What do you think it's going to do to Lucas Van Ness's playing time next year? Will it take a sizable hit, or is this just more about establishing depth?
Well, I think they're counting on Lucas Van Ness. And frankly, I think Lucas Van Ness is counting on, you know, having a greater role, right? I mean, they traded Rashawn Gary. They let Kingsley Anagbare walk in free agency. You know, obviously deny Dennis Sutton, which is one of them. I struggle with that name. Like, his name, it feels like his name should just be Dennis Sutton. Hey, Dennis, what's going on?
It sounds like it should just be his full name.
Right, and you deny that and say, no, his first name's Deny. But, you know, look, he's a fourth-round pick. Last year they drafted Baron Sorrell in the fourth round. You know, he didn't play a ton. He was part of the rotation. But I don't expect those guys to him or I mean, maybe Chris McClellan has a bigger role because he's an interior guy. And they've got a bunch of guys there, but no one who's, you know, really established themselves as a rookie last year in terms of Warren Brinson or Nazir Stackhouse. So there's some opportunity for both of them. But, no, I think this is an enormous year for LVN. And I don't – like, Dobbs might be right about him not being, you know, particularly confident in him. But I think he's going to get every opportunity. Like, he's going to be – first of all, he's going to be a starter when Micah Parsons is healthy. But Micah Parsons himself had admitted that he didn't think he was going to be ready for the opener when we talked to him back in January, which, you know, they'd be foolish, given their investment, to rush him back onto the field before he's truly ready. So I don't think he's going to be ready for the opener. That's why Jeff Hafley was joking about hoping that the Packers – Dolphins game is in week one, so he doesn't have to face Micah Parsons. But again, I don't know. Like, I look at where they're at, and who else do they have? LVN has to be a player for them this year. And frankly, you know, they've got until Friday to exercise the fifth-year option on him, and I don't think they're going to. And so he's going to be in a contract year. That's big time too, right? Like, he wants to make some big money on his next contract, whether it's from the Packers or from someone else. So he needs to seize that opportunity. He needs to stay healthy, and he needs to prove Ashley wrong.
Hopefully. I hope I'm wrong at the end. We'll see. The Packers drafted the lineman with the highest athletic score in the draft. Do you see Jaeger? Wally likes to call him Jaeger.
It should be Jaeger Bomb. It should be Jaeger Bomb. Come on.
Not the point. But do
I'm not familiar. What's a Jaeger Bomb? I'm not familiar with those.
It's the worst drink imaginable, never but it's a fun one. Thing to say, Jason.
I'm not that old. I am familiar with those. Now, there's one called the Irish Car Bomb, which seems like a very inappropriate phrase.
Delicious drink,
then,
though.
Delicious. And then there's, there was one I remember on my, so I had to work on my 21st birthday. So all my friends took me out on my 22nd birthday, and I don't drink. And they all wanted to see what would happen if I drank. And it was after I graduated, but I was still living in Madison. So I went out. No, I hadn't graduated yet. It was my senior year. And so we went out, and I did 22 shots in a night and still went to my 850 class. Thank you very much.
Wow.
But one of the worst one was a shot. I don't know what it was. I think it was tequila with Tabasco.
Oh.
And I don't know why anybody would do that to anyone. That's disgusting.
That's terrible.
Yeah, have some self-respect here, Jason. Throwing I respect that you stopped terrible. Drinking after that.
Yeah.
Well, I did not. I was not drinking previous to that or after that. That was not my thing. That's a much longer story, and kind of a sad one. So, but everyone got to see me drunk once in my life, and then I went to class the next morning, and I still brag about that to this day.
He's a professional, after all.
He is.
What was the question again? Like Jaeger?
Do you
like your guy Jaeger?
Do you think Jaeger Burton will be a center throughout training camp, or will he go the Jordan Morgan route where he basically learns every position on the offensive line?
Yeah, I would assume that their intention is for him to, if all things play out the way they're hoping, for him to show that he's capable of being the primary backup at all three interior positions. Now, again, he's a fifth-round pick, so we have to temper our expectations for him. I mean, it's worth reminding everyone that Jacob Monk was a fifth-round pick who had played center at Duke, right,
mm-hmm.
and played other positions. And how much have they gotten out of Jacob Monk to this point? Very little, right? So just because he's got a cool name, which, by the way, Jaeger isn't even his first name.
Ooh, what is his first name?
Camden. But he likes to go by Jaeger.
I'd probably go by Jaeger, too.
Well, I think you should go by Camden Lukaczynski.
It's Camden Yards, after all, in the backyard at that point. You got to set up the fence and everything.
I just think it sounds like a rich kid name.
Yeah,
like
you're
dating Buffy, and you're going to the yacht club. And
see, the other thing right now is you're seeing all the names that they're even the traditional ones that they're like, we're just going to spell it a little different to just, you know, really drive someone up a wall.
Yeah, like Ashley, A-S-H-L-E-I-G-H.
Yeah, like, come on. We're trying too hard here, parents.
That's actually very fair. The joke around our house is, had we continue to have more children, what other cities would we have used since we used Madison, Wisconsin, and Sydney, Australia? I was thinking maybe Oconomowoc.
Ooh.
Kid named Pittsburgh's going to sound pretty good, Jason. That's all I'm going to tell you. Something to think about. Chew on Friday.
Pitsy. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. I look forward to that conversation.
Jason, we appreciate Walter. The time as always. Looking forward to catching up with you a little more on Friday.
All right, guys. Take care. Be good.
The great Jason Wilde, once again, thankfully waiting for us as we're dealing with new phone lines today as we put those in for the Good Karma Brands John Moser Children's Radiothon dessert auction this morning. And before we go to break, Ashley, I wanted to ask you as we came
I don't know if I've lost Wilde yet. It's still these phone lines. I'm pretty sure he's still on the phone.
Well, if he can just stay on the show for the rest of the day if he wants, that's fine. We'll keep Wilde.
I think I finally hung up on Wilde.
Okay, we have hung up on Wilde. It is officially over.
He is gone.
You had a $700 cake.
I did. No big deal.
What did you make? What was this cake that garnered
Walter,
so much interest?
It was a blueberry lemon crumble cheesecake. And I'll give you a little insight on what happened. It was last night. I have to go to my family also cook some desserts for the dessert auction. So I had to go to Johnson Creek for it.
Correct.
Yes. And so I left right after the show, met my mom there. It was about a 30-minute drive. I get back. It's about And then I chit-chatted with my mom, so I didn't get home until about 6:30. And luckily, I had all the ingredients there, and I'm simultaneously also making dinner. So I'm making this graham cracker crust while making steak bites. Very, like, here and there, right? Like, just chaotic.
Very different.
Very different, very chaotic. And I'm working on both ends, and I take a break for dinner, and by the time I finally get ready to bake my or make my filling, because I let the crust bake, I realized that the cheese or the cream cheese that I bought, it was a 2-pack in a carton container. It said 400 grams of cream cheese, and I needed 800 grams. I assumed that it meant 400 grams in each block. 400 grams for the package. So I had to run.
Okay,
to the store.
You did go get more. I was worried that this
$700
cake is going to be anti-cheese cream.
It would be one thing if I was short a couple, like 50 grams of blueberries, but you can't have cream cheese, or you can't have a cheesecake without cream cheese.
It's pretty counterintuitive.
So by the time I made the whole batter, it was 8:30. By the time I got it in the oven, it had to cook for an hour and a half. Then it had to sit open. Like, it was in the oven and had to be, like, popped open for an hour. Then it had to sit on the counter for an hour. Then it went in the fridge.
Did you stay up or, like, go to bed last night?
At midnight.
See, that's not that bad. You're an early going-to-bed person. I can't get over that.
I am, like, 9:30, 10-ish. Yeah, so it was a late night for me. But I think it was worth it. It went for $700.
Amen. And it's for the kids. Make sure.
It's for the kids.
It's for the kids. Shout out Charlie Dern. Mm. We're going to have quite a few things coming up here. For the kids, golf outing is just about a month away. So if you want to get involved, want to help out a great cause, and at the same time, come play a round of golf with us. Mm-hmm. There's going to be raffle prizes. There's going to be auction items. There's going to be different hole activations. It's going to be a really fun day, Ashley. So people got to come out there. Otherwise, they're going to have to see more videos of you and I doing stuff on the Facebook.
Yeah, like, we'll keep pushing those out.
I'll do it on Pride at some point.
We'll show you what it looks like if you don't come to the golf outing this week.
Good teaser there.
Yes, thank you.
Very nicely done.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, I want to ask Ashley about what we just talked about with Jason Wilde. If this did anything to change her mind on what Lucas Van Ness is going to do next year, and then what else this draft implications have, not only for the offensive line, but for the quarterback position. We'll dive into that all here on the Dam Sports Show in just a couple minutes on 1430 ESPN Beaver Dam and Daily Dodge TV.
Evan Cohen here. PayPal is now the official peer-to-peer payment sponsor of the NFL, which means all the money moments that fandom creates, whether splitting tailgate costs or chipping in on tickets and game day food between friends, are covered. Wherever the game is played or watched, PayPal moves with fans. You can send money through text, email, or directly to your friends with eligible accounts on Venmo. Just download the PayPal app, share all the moments that matter. Account with PayPal is required, not available in all regions where PayPal operates.
Smalls here. What if you could enjoy the flavor of a cocktail without the alcohol? Meet RK Zero Proof, a pioneer in the alcohol-free spirits category that delivers bold taste and a warming sensation, but with zero alcohol, zero sugar, zero carbs, and zero calories. So you can celebrate with friends, unwind after a long day, and wake up tomorrow feeling great. It's all the ritual of a drink without the regret. Discover RK at rkbeverages.com. That's A-R-K-A-Y beverages.com. RK, the spirit without the alcohol.
Gruber Law Office. One call, that's all.
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 Gruber Law Offices. One call, that's all.
One call, that's all.
Your home for the Golden Beavers, 1430 ESPN, powered by Daily Dodge.
Join me, Rich Eisen, weekdays from noon to 2. Now back to the Dam Sports Show on 1430 ESPN Beaver Dam.
If you are looking for a one-stop shop for all things sports cards, head on over to Real Sports Cards in Waupun or check out their app. Whether you're into sports cards or Pokemon, Real Sports Cards has you covered. With live break streaming right there on the app, you can grab individual cards on the go. Be a part of a group and watch for your favorite players and teams as the packs get open. Go to the Apple or Google Play Store today, look for the orange logo, and take your collection to the next level with Real Sports Cards, your local resource for all things sports cards, Pokemon cards, and more. Get a load of this, Ashley. So I was talking on the phone with Tom from Real Sports Cards last night, and the travel this guy is going through over this couple weeks is insane. He was in Pittsburgh on Thursday for day one of the draft for the Topps tent that they had where they were showing and educating people about sports cards, how people can get involved. He then flew to Florida to see his son and play in a game in the spring game. Follow that up, he flew back to Pittsburgh for the Saturday installment of the Topps Sports Cards.
Wow.
Flew back home and then stayed home for about 12 hours. And he's now on a flight, I believe he said, to Puerto Rico. At least this time it's vacation.
Okay, I was going to say, what's in Puerto Rico now?
He's kicking his feet up on the sand somewhere right now. As he should is right. So you know what? We're not that far away. We're going to be on the beautiful beaches of Lake Beaver Dam here in a couple, probably, 2 months? Not far away. Not far away. Ashley, we just got off the phone with Jason Wilde, the wonderful Jason Wilde, and he had interesting comments about what he believes the Packers are expecting out of Lucas Van Ness this upcoming season. Yesterday, we did not make it very... it wasn't hard to figure out where we stood. You are not a Lucas Van Ness fan.
No, I'm not. Jason even just said he's about to be in his contract year, and he's not... The Packers extending him is very doubtful. Very unlikely.
At least right now. If he has a big year... That's almost the fear, is if he goes out and he does follow through and he makes Wally look like a genius for the first time ever on the damn sports show, he's going to end up getting paid a decent chunk of change. If he doesn't go anywhere crazy up in the 15-16, it won't be astronomical, but it's going to be a big ask for a team that is cash-strapped right now in the Green Bay Packers. You don't believe it's going to happen even after hearing Jason say, Micah might not start the season. He's going to be depended on.
He was dependent on after the Broncos game when Michael went down. Do you remember hearing LVN be talked about at all after those games?
Not as much as we would like. I will give you that.
Like, this is my thing. Like, I have not heard enough about LVN. You think about these players. I remember in high school, people would always talk about when some of these guys were going D1. They were really good. You would hear their names all the time because they were making an impact in the game. When do you hear LVN's name?
It was not enough last year.
Exactly. And
in his defense, I'm making excuses for a guy that at this point has 8.5 sacks in his career. Mm-hmm. He played 34 games his first two seasons. He played 9 last year. So quick math, good job, 43. He's averaging a sack about once every 5 games. That is nowhere near good enough.
No.
I get it. But this is also a team now that he is going to be the guy for the first month of the season. He's going to be on the field for 50-plus snaps a game. There have been flashes. Last year, he was very quick to point out on Twitter, X, whatever you want to call it, that he was banged up. And at the production...
Yeah, that was such an excuse.
It was an excuse, but there's some truth in it.
Yes, but come on. Going on Twitter and being like, hey, guys, this is why I didn't do... No. Like, are you serious? That would be like if I'm like said tweeted out after this show, hey guys, was really tired today, sorry. No, you're getting paid for this. Do your job. I understand that you're banged up.
We got the do your job crowd.
Yes, because it would be one thing if he had like an off game. He's had an off 4 years. Or sorry, 3 years, about to be 4.
It's not going to be 4 because he's going to surpass his career total in sacks in one season alone this year as he gets to double digits. Put it on pen. Pen to paper, it's happening.
What did he have last year in sacks?
It doesn't matter.
One and a half?
It's inconsequential to the conversation we're having now.
No, it's. I don't think LVN is going to amount to anything.
He has regressed in sack numbers each of his first 3 years. I understand that. Last year, he did play half the season.
He played half the season and didn't do, like, anything.
We're going to have a series of bets. We talked about this yesterday. We're going to have, like, 5, I think. And the winner's going to have to win 3 of the 5. This is one. I'm not even going to be... I'm not mean. This is how confident I am. I'm not going to sit here and say, you know what, Ashley? Lucas Van Ness only has to get 5.5 sacks because that splits the difference of what you and I said. No, I am out here standing on my mountaintop, the Lucas Van Ness perch, if you will. And I'm telling you, he will have 10 sacks. And if he's less than that, I will concede the point on that one.
I will. You know what? I'll say he'll have 3 or less.
3 or less?
For the whole season. Yep. You can go 10 or more. I'm going to go 3 or less.
And that's, you're saying that even if he plays, he's healthy all year.
Yeah, because he sucks.
Lucas Van Ness, come on. Hercules, make me proud here,
man. He had 1.5 in 9 games.
I feel like short little Danny DeVito here. If we're calling him Hercules, I feel like the little goat man that was Danny DeVito saying, hey, man, wait, Micah's not here. Rashawn Gary ain't walking through that door. You got some added help. Let's get to the quarterback some this year. Let's make Ashley look like a fool Monday through Friday for 3 months.
Well, here's my other problem with this stance, I guess, is Rashawn Gary didn't do anything either.
Rashawn Gary was leading the league in sacks through the first month of the season.
With Micah Parsons there.
Yes.
So without Micah Parsons, Rashawn Gary did not step up, and neither did LVN. Now we don't have Rashawn Gary or Micah Parsons. I still don't think that LVN is going to step up.
You have Jonathan Gannon in the building now, who is more at least equipped to bring a little bit of pressure.
Yeah.
And with that, you're going to also have the interior offensive line unable to help on the tackles help the tackles on the outside. And you're going to have to deal with those blitzing linebackers up the middle too. You're still going to create the one-on-one opportunities for Lucas Van Ness. It truly comes down to this. When tire meets the road, is he going to actually elevate his game this year? Is he going to prove that it was injuries that derailed him last year and it was playing time that stopped him short in his first two? I'm betting yes. It might make me look like an idiot, but I'm telling you, Hercules is going to be a big reason why the Green Bay Packers win the division in 2026.
Well, if it is because of injuries, I'm sure he'll go on Twitter and tell us about it.
Oh, you are the worst, aren't you?
But I'm right.
God. Well, welcome to the show, Ashley. This is going to be fun. Lucas Van Ness. Who knew that that was going to be the person in week one that was going to drive a rift through the show?
We can talk other players. But I feel like there's a lot that we probably agree on. But I guess kind of I'm excited for some of these new draft picks, just reading more about them. I think that there's a lot of potential there.
Yeah, well, and I want to let's start a little bit about Jaeger Burton. I know that we've joked about calling him Jaeger Bomb and that he's going to be a guy that is going to be probably playing a decent bit this year. Staying healthy on an offensive line, it doesn't happen over the duration of a year. It's impossible nowadays with injuries. So he's going to play, and assuming that the Packers are right about him, he's going to play an awful lot. It sounds like he's going to bounce around a la Jordan Morgan the first few years of his career, where he's going to have to be ready to step up, whether that's center, whether it's one of the guard positions. Hell, who knows how it goes. I don't think that he has the body to be a tackle, but he's going to be somebody that in those middle three spots on the offensive line is going to get a lot of look, and I'm really banking on them getting this right because they went one offensive lineman in a draft that we anticipated them going probably 2 or 3 at the very least.
Yeah.
So are you as high on him after learning a little bit more about Camden? What we call him? Burton?
I think so. I think it was very impressive and kind of
the
optimistic.
Duke boy.
Optimistic hearing that he was he had the highest athletic score in the draft. I mean, I feel like when you have somebody like that, the versatility you can get with these type of players, you know, you can't teach athleticism. You can teach out of position. So allowing him to learn each of the interior spots, those three spots, given how athletic he is, I don't think he's going to have a problem picking them up and being successful in them.
Well, one of the things that excites me about that athletic score that you talked about, too, because we really don't talk about that when it comes to offensive linemen very much. It's typically, as long as there's not that red flag that scares you away from a prospect, you're at least like, all right, he's athletic enough to be in the league. When you have a guy like that, so often when you're drafting interior offensive lines in the 5th or 6th rounds, one of the disclaimers they almost say on these draft broadcasts is that this guy's probably not going to pull much. He's going to be stationary. He's kind of a Band-Aid guy to slip in there. he's going to be able to pull. He's going to be able to do a lot of the things they ask him. The biggest question is if he's going to be big and strong enough, because that is the only issue. When you have that super athletic offensive lineman, it reminds me there's guys like Bruce Campbell back in the day that would draft him in a fourth round at tackle because he's an absolute specimen. And then he gets to the field and it doesn't translate when they actually get him into what they perceive as football shape. So that's my only reservation, but it's a fifth round pick at the end of the day. It's just you're putting an awful lot of faith in an offensive line that seems like it should be, on paper at least, taking a little bit of a step back.
Yeah, I agree. 100%.
We're going to take one break here. I almost said the final break. We got a couple left. We got a couple left.
We do.
Just a couple. But you know what? When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about an awesome game last night over at the Beaver Dam Baseball Diamond. Finally, Beaver Dam fans are saying as they finally get one over on their rival, the Watertown Goslings. We'll dive into that next here on the Dam Sports Show.
This is Doug Kraft, head coach of the Beaver Dam Golden Beavers boys high school hockey team, and you're listening to 1430 ESPN Beaver Dam, home of the Golden Beavers.
Partner your business with the most famous four letters in sports, ESPN. For more information, click on the Contact Us tab at DailyDodge.com. Your home for Beaver Dam High School Golden Beaver Athletics is Daily Dodge TV and 1430 ESPN Beaver Dam.
Wisconsin weather can't make up its mind, but you can decide to be comfortable. A custom sunroom from Hometown Glass and Improvement lets you enjoy sunshine and outdoor views without the wind, the cold, or the bugs. They handle everything from design to construction, giving you more space, more value, and more ways to enjoy every season. Call 887-3757 today for your free estimate or visit hometownglass.com. Hometown Glass and Improvement, locally owned, community trusted.
Is your business celebrating an anniversary, hosting a special event, or looking to drive foot traffic and boost your brand in the community? Then it's time to jump on board with 95.3 WBEV and Daily Dodge Broad Fries. Get ready to make room for our grills. We're inviting local businesses to become official Broad Fry hosts this season. It's a fun, high-energy way to bring customers to your location and create buzz around your business. You'll even partner with a local nonprofit organization to give back to the community while you grow. And this year's Broad Fry season will feature attendance-based guaranteed cash prizes for fans. All will be encouraged to get their stamp cards ready and participate in all Broad Fries on site. Everyone can follow along throughout the season. If they get their stamp cards stamped five times, they're entered into a random drawing for those guaranteed cash prizes.
No purchase necessary to participate in the contest.
It's great food, great crowds, and community impact. To become a host location, visit DailyDodge.com today and fire up your next event.
For continued coverage of your local high school and pro sports teams, spend the weekday 4 o'clock hours with the Dam Sports Show, presented by Real Sports Cards in Waupun.
The Golden Beavers of Beaver Dam took down the Watertown Gosling baseball team 5-4 yesterday and once again, Ashley, come from behind fashion. This team seemingly four or five times this year has found themselves down with their final at bat at the plate and they find a way. Yesterday, they go into the seventh inning trailing 4-3. They didn't get a base hit. And they score two runs playing Beaver Dam baseball.
Sorry, I saw that. Watertown walked a run in.
Yes. It was a hell of a take by Bradley Wendorf, too.
Mm-hmm.
It was a pitch just inside off the plate. And it was one of those where at first you're doing the...
Why'd you do that? Yeah, you're thinking in your head, why'd you do that? Why'd you do that? And then you're like...
I'm like, swing. Oh, no. Good call.
Sitting there and you're like... You know more than me.
It's the benefit of when you do have a catcher that can hit too, in Bradley Wendorf. He has that eye of the strike zone, you know?
Mm-hmm. But yeah, like I can only imagine, like I remember sitting there when I was playing, I remember seeing my like parents every single time I would swing at a bad pitch, be like, or look at one, they'd be like, and then they'd be like, oh, we're actually fine.
How was your parents when you had a bad game, when you're driving home and you're in the car? Were they to bring it up? Did they let it? What was the conversation like in the car in the Dobrzynski clan?
My dad would get in the car and be like, I'm not sugarcoating this. And I was like, all right, well, let's hear it. My mom would be like, this is what your dad said. And I'm like, he wasn't there. But yeah, my mom never really gave me any feedback. My dad, especially with basketball, would be like, this is what you did wrong.
Well, there's times I can look back to, and it sounds at least similar in the sense that Sandy Lukashinsky, my beautiful mother, she's amazing, and she would hit us with the, you did so great, honey. Like, great job. Like, good job. Let's get you whatever the treat is at the concession stand. Let's get in the car.
Yep.
And then I remember my mom we'd get parked in the driveway. My mom gets out. Mm-hmm. And it was never this extreme, but it's the closest I can think to it. My dad would more or less sit there and just be like, what the hell was that?
Yeah.
Like, that's my last name that's out there, man.
Yeah, I love the, I would love when they would do like, what the hell was that?
Yeah, and I'm like, I'm sitting there, I'm like, I don't know, I'm 10 years old. I've been playing tackle football for 6 years already. I'm falling apart, Dad.
Yeah, or it was always my struggle. Like, my dad would get so mad at me about when I would miss layups for basketball, and it happened so often. He'd be like, you are right under the basket. How? And I was like, Dad, like, I can't handle the pressure. And it's actually started to interfere with my golf game, because when I am about to, like, putt for par or something, I get so frazzled that I end up totally messing up. And it actually, I always do it with my dad as well. I'm always like, when I'm with him, I'm like, Dad, I'm not going to make this shot. And he's like, you're fine. And then I'll like totally hit it like so soft. And he'd be like, hit the ball. Like,
come on, Dolb. Swing the club.
Yeah. And I'm like, crap.
I'll shut up after. The last one that I think of is when I was a catcher. I like to think I was decent at what I was doing back there.
Yep.
And I would watch other catchers on the team. You know, there's a pass ball, there's a wild pitch, whatever. And my dad wouldn't say anything. When I would be back there, if I missed a ball, whether it's a pass ball, wild pitch, whatever, all I would hear from my dad, and it would never be like raising his voice, it would always be, what do catchers do? What do catchers do? And I have to do, and he would, what did I say? What do catchers do?
Oh, that's catch. So hard.
They catch. Well, they catch the ball.
I told you the fingers, like how I broke my finger. My dad to this day will be like, it was a line drive and you put your glove in front of it. You don't know how to ground a ball. And I was like, no, the ball bounced and hit my hand.
God, we can spend an entire day just talking about
our fathers.
I think everybody could. What fathers, yeah. It's why that we love them too, because those are some of the best memories when you look back. They're the best stories.
And it gives you such tough skin. Now, like, it doesn't bother me. Like, things just, whatever.
Well, it sure does. Well, I know Coach Wilkie, he had a lot of emotion last night after a big win, when it's been quite a couple of years now that they haven't been able to really push through against this Watertown side. I was able to catch up with him right after win and figure out what this game in victory meant for him. We're out here at the Beaver Dam Baseball Diamond after a 5-4 come-from-behind victory. Beaver Dam beating Watertown. I'm here with head coach Nate Wilkie. Coach, we've seen a theme now this year with this team, with these late inning heroics. What is it about this group that, you know, they don't ever say die?
Well, you know, they're just gritty, and that's what we're kind of talking today. You know, a couple of games maybe you'd say, well, maybe it's just you know, rare or something, or maybe that's not where we're about. But you know, we're already 7 games in, and we continue to be able to come back and stuff. And they're not like phased when we get down, and they just compete, and that's what you got to do. And you know, who knows where we can go with it? But if you got that type of attitude, you don't think you're going to lose. That's huge.
Well, in this area, people are aware of what this rivalry means, and I know it means a lot to you too. It's been a tough couple years where it's a good Watertown side on the other side, haven't been able to crack that egg. What was it about today that you were able to find a way to get it done?
Well, our players, I mean, they know how it's been a while. And for whatever reason, we just have not played well against these guys. You know, they're fundamentally sound and they're well coached and everything. But, you know, we've had opportunities in the past to get it done. We just didn't. But today, you know, I said these guys wanted to win bad against these guys. And they did. They competed and they had some good at-bats and stuff. And they just refused to lose.
Well, and again, we see it. The Beaver Dam baseball, the bunts, the sack fly to end the game today. Situational hitting, why is it so important for this team to know in those moments what you have to do?
Well, the way we believe it, you know, any run we can get, we're going to take. So, you know, if it means bunting or if it means stealing or if you get a guy at second base, you bunt more to third, then they need a sack fly to win. And so, you know, just little stuff like that, that's what we do. Because, you know, we don't have a bunch of Division I recruits this year or anything, but we play small ball and that's how we win.
Beaver Dam Baseball gets a 5-4 win. Coach, thank you for the time.
Thank you.
Well, and there you have it. Coach fired up after that win. This rivalry, whether it's football, whether it's basketball, whether it's baseball, it's special to this area. And it didn't take long for me to feel that when you go out to a game like this. And to get this win, to finally get that monkey off your back, and doing it in Beaver Dam fashion, as we talked about, without a hit in the seventh inning and able to scratch across two. I mean, this team is, they just find a way, Ashley.
Yeah, and it's always impressive. Like we were kind of talking about before, it's the discipline of being at the plate. You know, like, it's so hard to watch those balls and strikes come in and either lay off of them or just, I was always a very, not anxious, but
I was
always
too
excited to get up there and just hack at the first pitch. And so having that discipline and taking those walks, obviously it paid off big for them getting that walked in. Or getting that run walked in. There we go. Whoa.
No, you're good. You're right. I mean, because base is loaded, one out. The tying runs on third. I know just instinctively and just being honest with myself, in those situations, it was almost in 90% of the time, my brain was already, I'm swinging.
Like, yeah.
I'm going to get defenses. A pitch to hit. He doesn't want to walk this guy in, so I'm going to get a one grooved. And then I'd chase nonstop for Bradley Wendorf to be able to take that and set up Jack Sladrin for the sack fly. What else can you say?
Yeah, like that's ideal.
Yeah, I'd say so.
Yeah.
It's Wednesday. We're going to shift things around a little bit. We're going to do who's hot, who's not to round out the show today. That's coming up here in just a couple moments on the Dam Sports Show on 1430 ESPN Beaver Dam and Daily Dodge TV.
Here's a look at your weatherology forecast. Slight chance of rain showers tonight. Otherwise, mainly clear skies. Lows level off around 33. Winds out of the northwest, 5 to 10 miles per hour. A blend of clouds and sun. Tomorrow, chance for showers, 52. Partly cloudy. Tomorrow night, chance for showers. Lows level off around 32. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki on 1430 ESPN Beaver Dam. Currently, 44.
Keep up to date with all the latest going on in high school athletics across the region by heading to the Sports tab at DailyDodge.com. Local scores, interviews, and more.
It's anniversary time at Silica for your home. I'm Josh Schneider. Stop in and celebrate 104 years with us this April. Take advantage of exclusive appliance rebates, plus get up to $300 back on TV and soundbar installation from LG, Samsung, and Klipsch. And fire up spring with the area's largest selection of grills featuring Weber, Traeger, Napoleon, and Kamado Joe. Enjoy free assembly, local delivery, and haul away with your old unit. Plus, 18-month 0% financing store-wide. Silica for your home, your one-stop shop since 1922.
Looking for your next great round? Tee it up at Rolling Meadows Golf Course in Fond du Lac, featuring 27 holes designed for every skill level. Whether you're chasing a personal best or just enjoying time with friends, you'll love the well-kept course, practice facilities, and relaxing clubhouse. Play 9, 18, or all 27, then unwind at the bar and grill. Rolling Meadows, more golf, more fun your way. Book your tee time today at rollingmeadowsgolfcourse.com.
The Columbus Family Dental Mystery Player is back for the 2026 baseball season. Listen to Milwaukee Baseball every Sunday on 95.3 WBEV, and we'll announce who the mystery player of the game is. Then the following business day at 8:15 during the WBEV Morning Show, if you're the correct caller who can identify the mystery player, you'll win a pair of tickets to see a game in Milwaukee. It's the Columbus Family Dental Mystery Baseball Player of the Game, all season long on 95.3 WBEV.
Save big money on everything at Menards. Take control of your outdoor space with Roundup, Weed, and Grass Killer. The Pump and Go container is ready and easy to use. With the Pump and Go sprayer, you don't need to mix your own liquid, and you get up to 10 minutes of continuous spray. Save big on Roundup, Weed, and Grass Killer. Plus, check out our flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Everything I have, I owe to the Adult Literacy Center and getting my high school diploma at age 22.
Find free and supportive adult education centers near you at finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
The Dam Sports Show, presented by Real Sports Cards in Waupun. Your favorite local sports teams, your favorite local sports hosts. On 1430 ESPN Beaver Dam. Got Chucks on with Saint
Laurent, gotta kiss myself, I'm so pretty. Time for Who's Hot, Who's Not on the Dam Sports Show. Wally Lukashinsky, Ashley Doberzinski with you on this little blustery, little fall-like early spring Wednesday.
Wally, just give it 15 minutes.
Shut up. That is the thing. I think that it bothers me almost more than anything in the world. Every single area in the Midwest, and there's probably plenty of places that do it out in the Northeast and the Southeast too, everybody experiences weather. Shut up. I'm tired.
I'm tired of this. Oh. Fair.
That's not who's not for me, but I tell you what, we'll start with you. Your first time again in the number two chair, so I feel like we got to roll out the red carpet for you. Who's the red hot, who's hot this week?
Me, just kidding. Well, kind of me. No, the dessert auction today for the 2026 Good Karma Brands, John Moser Children's Radiothon. We raised $2,460 for the Radiothon, and just awesome. It was so fun to be a part of, and obviously it was very fun having a cheesecake go for $700.
They better like it, otherwise next year they're
Wally,
gonna be like,
I'm so scared. What if they hate it? what if they email Sharon and it's like, this like is the worst case ever. Oh my god, worst cake I've ever tasted. I would be like, here's my 2 weeks.
That's it for me.
I'm so sorry. Yeah, literally.
Well, well done. That's a very, very well-deserved Who's Hot this week. Mm-hmm. And 700 bananas on something you made. I think it's a testament to the impact you're making here locally as well. So you should be very, very excited about that.
Who's your Who's Hot?
Mine has got to be the NFL draft, because 2 years ago, they picked two towns. They picked Green Bay, Wisconsin, and they picked Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Meh.
And shut up. When they go into these, I was petrified thinking of the actual layout, how they're going to do this. This draft is growing every single year. We're at 800,000 people that showed up last week for the draft, and I didn't think that the parking, the infrastructure, I thought it would be a miserable experience for all these people that go to these events. And the NFL in these cities figured it out. And it has me thinking with so much more faith that this is something that is sustainable long term, to keep this being a festival, to keep this being a ridiculous something that we absolutely love to follow along to, because they're opening the stadiums, Ashley. And when you do that, you can actually have 800,000 people over 3 days, because there's places to put them. If you put me in a Coachella-like environment where I'm standing in a circle doing this, I would be miserable.
I would not be. Yeah, me too.
Big shout out to the NFL and the NFL draft.
Well, I'm going to go the out, but for who's not, I'm going to call out the NCAA. We do not need 76 teams in March Madness.
It was perfect.
It was perfect. What do you mean we have 76? I mean, don't get me wrong. I love Thursdays and I love the Thursday, Friday set. The opening weekend of March Madness is so fun.
And then, but Tuesday and Wednesday, it's like, what are we doing here?
It's 76 on Tuesday, like, it's just too many. Like, it was perfect. One of my favorite sayings, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. That wasn't broke. Why did we fix it?
Well, the problem is that they don't want to be broke, and they somehow perceive
it's
they're going to be poor.
It's all money.
It's all money.
And that's so annoying.
Well, if people think this is stopping at 76, I have beachfront property in Kansas that I would love to get your opinion on, because this isn't going to stop.
Funny.
And it was perfect at 65.
Yeah.
That was the number. Have one play in for the lowest seed in the tournament.
Yep.
That was a fun way to really unveil everything when you got to Wednesday night. Instead, now we're at this nonsense. It sets me off. Mm-hmm. I love that who's not. I couldn't agree with you more.
Thank you.
Very rare that we get to agree. All right, nice. All right, I get to be on my soapbox for a minute here.
Uh-oh.
Because the Pittsburgh Penguins are playing the Philadelphia Flyers tonight in Game 6 of the first round of the NHL playoffs. The NHL playoffs, as always, the best postseason in all of sports to me. I think it's the most high stress. It's incredible watching. This rivalry is one of the best in the game of hockey. I think that you can make a real case that it is the most intense in all of hockey.
It seems like a who's hot.
No, because this is where it turns. The Uh-oh. City of Philadelphia, when we launched this show 18 months ago or so, the tagline started with me on the show saying, those scumbags from Philly.
Yeah.
That is the most cesspool, the most repulsive town in America. The people are awful. There's no redeeming qualities. Their cheesesteaks suck. They're dry. Cheese Whiz is mid, as the kids would say. And the best thing that's ever come out of Philadelphia is a fictional boxer who's played by someone who isn't even from Philadelphia. Philadelphia is going to blow this. They have started the season or series 3-0, up 3 over the Pens. They've lost 2 straight. And I tell you what, if they lose tonight, their season's going to end in Pittsburgh in Game 7 on Friday night. And I cannot wait for it.
That's actually so funny you say that, because I have only been to Philadelphia once, and it was on a connecting flight.
Worst experience of your life, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. They lost our luggage. It was terrible. My dad walked out and was like, I told you guys this place sucks. And we were all like, you might have been onto something.
Talk about a redeeming quality. The best, closest thing that you can get to that is that they're in the same state as Pittsburgh.
Okay. That's Wally, we did a good job today with time.
Look at us. We got 15 seconds left. Good way to throw us out here. We're going to be back tomorrow, as always, same time, same place, from 4 to 5 right here in the Daily Dodge TV studio. Homer Hour is coming up next, and we're going to have more Beaver Dam Athletics to talk with you tomorrow. We'll see you guys then.
This Sports Center update is brought to you by Silica for your home, serving Wisconsin homes for over 100 years. Whether it's upgrading your appliances and electronics or finding